Okay, the business class that we're giving today, business ethics, will be a shiur. First of all, Zecher Nishmas, my grandmother's yahrzeit is this evening. Thegel Raspas Klomas Kalman. All of our grandmothers have a lot to do in our lives. My grandmother certainly taught me very important life lessons together with her husband, Dr. Jacob Hartstein. Were on the forefront of really Jewish education and Yeshiva diversity and other places. So yesh koyach to what they accomplished, which kind of makes me in who I am today. So our neshama should have an aliyah. The purpose of these wonderful shiurim sponsored by Leva Torah, I don't know what that means, sponsored by, they're just, using their Zoom account. I'm the one using my time. But these shiurim will go into different aspects of business, and those that are what I'm going to try to do is not to do the shiurim I did in the Shana Aleph program, although we might review some of it as questions come up and things of that nature. But this evening is a shiur that I haven't given quite so many years, but it's a question that comes up a lot. And that is a strange question, it sounds like a little bit. And it's a topic called Chukas HaGoyim. Chukas HaGoyim is a topic that is expansive because it revolves around a lot of different questions. And I'm going to present the source sheet in a moment, but the topic is, for business itself, revolves around, Gentile names, as I put it, and dress. And these are two elements that seem a little bit strange at the outset, but there are many people who have non-Jewish names, and you didn't get to pick your name. So the question becomes, again, I'm not assuming so much that if your name is Yaakov and you go by, Jack, or you go by Jacob, so we're probably not talking about that. But we're talking about people who have names that are clearly not Torah-oriented names, like Matthew. Hopefully, I don't know, Kobe. I assume Kobe, your Hebrew name is Yaakov. I hope. Can't hear you. Oh, yeah. So that's funny. My son's name is Yaakov Chaim, and yeah. So we actually were going to name him. His name is Yaakov, but we're going to name him Kobe also. But a year before, our good friends had a child named Kobe, so we said, "No, I'm going to do that." I'm asking more questions about, the Vladimirs, and again, I'm not speaking about that the guy's getting called up to the Torah, Yamod, Matthew, Ben, whatever, like I'm not talking about that, although that's something the Gemara in Gittin does discuss. But at the essence of the core of it, and I think even dress comes out even more, right? All of us are wearing dress right now that is not Jewish in the sense, right? Whether it's your Tommy Hilfiger or whatever. Or I just saw an amazing article about the shirts that have become very popular in the Jewish world. Charles Tewitt shirts from England, those amazing shirts that I love, and they're great shirts, and they have a great return policy. They interviewed the CEO of the company in England, and they asked him if he was aware that there are so many Orthodox Jews that wear his stark white shirts, and he said yes. We you know, this has become a phenomenon, and we understand why, because it's consistent with we make quality, and the Orthodox community is quality, all this stuff to make Jews want to buy this. Anyway, but so the question becomes, how am I allowed to wear something that is goyish in the way that it is? Or is that, what are you talking about? Do you dress for success? So if I'm coming to an interview, and in the interview I'm wearing a nice suit, the clothes make the man. So I want to discuss what the issues are, and we will then discuss some interesting stuff. And I'm just going to give a background to some of the questions that comes up, and in the and it's interesting. So some of the things we don't even know about. When I was wow, this goes back many years ago, about 15 years ago, so more than me, yeah, 15. I was living in Helicopteenick, New Jersey. And it was my son was invited to a birthday party of one of his friends. It's actually funny now that I mention it. I smile a bit because she's about to get engaged, this girl. So it was her 3-year-old birthday. My son was invited. Probably was the last time he was invited to a girl's birthday party, because we're, now all Haredi and Ramat Beit Shemesh. And we go to the party, and my friend's there, this guy. It was the place was, if you guys know, in Teaneck, EJ's. And it was in EJ's, which I think was called something else in those days. And they didn't have a cake. So my friend comes up to me and he says, do you notice? No cake, no birthday cake. I'm like, why? He says, Chukas HaGoyim. That's what Goyim do. They have birthday cakes. Birthday cakes make no sense. And the candles, don't even get involved in the candles. And I have no idea what the guy's talking about. I'm like, what? Birthday cakes is like what kids like. And he's like, nope. We bought her cupcakes instead. And you know, she's crying, this little three-year-old going, I want a birthday cake. What the heck is going on over here? What is going on? So I had no idea what he was talking about. And for years, I used to make fun of him. And in fact, if you go to a shir, I did 15 out, so 12 years ago on it, I didn't understand. Okay, so what he probably was getting at is he heard a shir once maybe that the blowing of the candles maybe had something to do with a goyish minhag that they used to have. Obviously, in Judaism, we blow out candles. It's something we do. In fact, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch many people might not know. Maybe it's not noyig today. I actually started doing this, that you're supposed to light your wife's candles before because it lights easier. So it happens to be in my house we have the paraffin candles. I'll show you right here. So those candles are – I never thought I could do show and tell. This is good. So it's actually – when you light it, it makes the wicks a little bit nicer so she can light it. And then you're supposed to blow it out. You're not supposed to keep it lit. Havdalah. So there's a question, should you blow out the candles or not? So maybe it's a question. Then came this other thing. You get a shaila from a Talmud in the yeshiva. He's getting engaged, mazel tov, to a girl, mazel tov. She's Jewish, mazel tov, Orthodox, mazel tov. Everything's going well. And he says to me, I want to propose to her like everybody proposes, like I propose, chatasli ani mazkir hayom, and I want to propose on one knee. I'm like, okay, what's the problem? He says, well, I saw a surah, and of course you Google it, and Google tells you that maybe we propose on one knee because it's a sign in Christianity. We know that they kneel a lot, right? And in other religions as well. They bow in Islam. And maybe the kneeling is a show of respect that now I'm asking her to come into my home. Others say that has nothing to do with that. Probably one of the greatest chukas akum that you might have heard of is the famous minhag of the ki in the challah right after Pesach. And there's a lot of literature that was written about this, a lot of different articles that I read. Some say that it's such a goyish minhag. This is what they did right after Easter, which obviously is usually around Passover time, where they baked the challah, they baked bread, and it had a cross in it because keys in those days had a cross because it should be protection from God. And maybe this is such a goyish minhag. How can we do this? Right? So they have different things. And then one could argue very easily and say, this has nothing to do with the prices. What does it have to do with it? So I want to start to get involved in that. Thanksgiving, Halloween, all those different things. So I have a very not professional source sheet here because I didn't have it on my computer. So I actually had to – I have the source sheet here, and I had to send it to myself, scan it to myself. So I'm just going to share the screen because it will be much easier for us to do this topic if we do it. Okay. So I apologize that the scan didn't come out so beautifully. So – So first, the prohibition. So we say in Vayikram, Perik Yud Ches. So there we talk about Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim, that there's an issue of us doing anything that was like what they did in Mitzrayim itself. And of course, this issue is quite clear in Parshas Yisro, is that we don't want to be like them. We don't want to remember those ways. And we just related in Lessons from the Lev, how in Parshas Shlach, your parsha, and in my parsha, Parsha's Korach, B'nai Yisrael actually use the words, we want to go back to Mitzrayim, right? So there's always this mentality, we want to be like them. Eretz Mitzrayim, Moshe Yishtach Bo, why? U'pechosein lo seilechu, don't go according to their ways, right? We shouldn't follow their ways. It's an Isser of the Torah, not to be like the Goyim, not to follow their ways. Now, I'm not talking about the obvious things that you, I'm sure, know about. You're not supposed to have their wine, right? Stam Yenam, and Bishalakum, Cholov Yisrael that we try to have. All these different types of things, Mishum Chasnus, different reasons. Chol Yisrael, not so much but Mishum Kashrus, but we have a lot of these in Yisrael. So I want to bring two minhagim that the Gemara quote, which are very, very interesting minhagim. One is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. He says, Tanya, Sorfim HaMalachim. There used to be a custom called Sorfim HaMalachim, that when a king would die, we would take his clothes and they would burn all of his possessions. Why? Pashut. They were afraid they're going to sell it on eBay, right? I don't know if you guys know what eBay is. Right? Back in the day, they didn't have eBay in the times of the Gemara. But, right, you've seen that before. You go to there's an auction house. This is like an amazing thing. You go to an auction house, and in the auction house, all of a sudden they have this, you know, these gorgeous things. Oh, this is from, you know, President Kennedy. They found his... I don't know, it was a Seinfeld episode like that, where they were auctioning off his golf clubs, But right, Lady Di's dress that they found, these things go for so much money. So they didn't want this to happen, that it would be improper covered. They didn't want it to go onto eBay. So they would burn everything that belonged to him. This is not a goyish way, he writes. The ichukasi enan hoichid sarfim bekosif, and it says bechukasim leseilecho. Aye, doesn't the pasuk say you're not supposed to follow the ways of the goyim? But Jewish kings did this. Elo dekuleyama sreifa lav chukahi. It's not us. You know why? Elo chashivu. It's chashuv. So the Gemara now tells us a definition why it's not considered to be the ways of the goyim, because it makes sense. It's chashuv. What does that mean? It means that we want to show cover to the king, and therefore we don't want it to get in the wrong hands. We don't want some guy walking around wearing a king's crown that he just found in the dumpster. So that would be an issue. I related before the story that when I was in the Ministry of Defense, my first job, so I don't know why, but I got this title called Rav HaMashan. Right? Mashan stands for where we were in New York, Mishlechet New York, and I was considered the rabbi. They would ask me all the shilas, which is pretty fun. I didn't even have a smicha then. And so the new head of the mission, called the director of the Ministry of Defense of New York, the mission of Israel, so he said to me, you got to help me out. I have to. This is giving you an example of this idea. He said, I need to buy new mezuzahs. So he had this gorgeous Park Avenue apartment that was, you know, that my tax money now pays for, if there's still such a thing. And I said, okay, no problem. He said, well, the Minister of Defense at the time was a gentleman by the name of Yitzhak Mordechai, who was very frum. He was a very religious guy. He wasn't actually, he was Mesorati. He was Sephardi. And he said that when he would come to the home, he would look at the mezuzahs, because Sephardim are like crazy with mezuzahs. So he says, you got to change all the mezuzahs in my house and make sure I have enough mezuzahs. So I go to the house, and Park Avenue, beautiful. And it was amazing for me, because he said, take all day to do it. I don't care. I'm like, okay. I think he thought I was writing the mezuzahs also. So like, I had a lot of time off. So I go to this Park Avenue apartment, and there's all these movers that are there, Italian moving company. And I couldn't understand what they were doing. They were moving out a lot of stuff. So I asked, his wife was there, and I said to her, can I ask you what's going on over here? She says, oh, when a director of the mission comes, he has the opportunity to keep everything in the house, or we hire a company that destroys everything because of security reasons. You know, even the TV, they want to make sure it's destroyed. And I'm watching these Italian guys take out the TV and the sofa and go, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to destroy it. You and I both know there's no way they're destroying it. They're selling it on the street somewhere. But it was kind of funny. So that's kind of like Sofer Abalachim, the show covered, you know, they don't want to put up. Then there's another Isser. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis, tells over the Isser, Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, mitzvah, hanorigim hayav, there are different misos. So in the days of old, capital punishment was done by beheading. So now how can we do, right? They had to chsib b'sayef b'araisa, l'garminam, elakevan d'araisa, sreifa d'chsib, u'mashvi b'sayef lo minu garmina, name, kevan d'chsib sayef b'araisa, lo mahani garmina. So, says the Gemara, well, we have skila, henek, srefa, right? We have capital punishment as well. But now because the goyim decided to use the guillotine, so now are we going to have a problem? Lo aleinu, the Muslims, the radical Muslims use stoning as a form of killing people. So now if that's what we had a base on Migdash, can we not do that? He says, no, because it was already written in the Torah. So the Ran expounds on these two reasons and says, well, what's going on over here? Gemara Avodah Zarah, is it disagreeing with the Gemara in Sanhedrin? How are they different? So says the Ran Avodah Zarah, again, these are only small pieces. There's a lot of different Rishonim who comment on this as well. And the Ran says, Lefi Shelo Asru, Isure Shelo Asru Torah, Elechukos Shel Avodet Kochamim. Elu, Devarim Shel Hevel Batola, Kulam Yesh Behem Tzorech Avodet Kochamim. So we don't want to serve idols, for example, and therefore we want to be extremely careful to stay far away from what we called in the time Avodah Zarah. But that's something that has no reasoning for it. It makes no sense, right? And it's like it's a goyish way. And again, please don't misunderstand that the word goyish is not a derogatory term. It's not. Actually, we are called the goyim. We should be called goyim, Jews. Why do we say? We said yesterday in Mincha, Yisrael, goy echad baris. There's only one goy. We're the goyim, really. But that's a colloquial term that we use. So we're not supposed to be there. But he says, if it has no reason, if it's a hevel reason, it makes no sense. So we just had two reasons that make sense. Sorfen amalachim makes a lot of sense. We burn the king's clothes to show respect. It's not a vodazara in its essence. And as long as we can come up with something that makes sense, and that we could obviously discuss clothing, clothing makes sense to wear, therefore it's not going to be usur. And therefore, sofer and malachim is not going to be usur. Way back when, the Maharik, we don't know the Maharik so well, except the Ramah, they quote it all the time. The Maharik is a very, very important source from Joseph Cologne of Italy, 1480s. And he asked the following question, which we could laugh at now because it's so obvious to us. He asked about the white cape. I wrote here white coat because we know the white coat is the doctor's. They wanted to distinguish who in the hospital is a doctor and who's not a doctor. And especially when you need emergency care, right? Imagine, you know, in the 1400s. So you wanted to, they would wear it. And it's also a short cover, right? I don't know how much nowadays in hospitals, but you have this, the hospital, they wear the hospital jacket. Nowadays, everybody's wearing, you know, everybody looks like doctors now because we're wearing masks. You know, we're also chashav. But that used to be, I remember I used to visit the hospital. I worked in an office that was a block away from Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck. So I wanted to do some, it's right there. So I asked, can I be involved at all? So first they asked me if I wanted to be one of the stand-in rabbis there. And I said, no. Because my mom's life and death questions they asked. I said, no, that I won't do. They said, okay, you could do Bikur Cholim. There's a whole women's group that does Bikur Cholim. I said, I'll do it as well. So they came out like once a month. I would go to the hospital and visit all the Jewish patients, encourage with them, daven with them, whatever it might be. However, when I would go on the floor all the time, looking the way I look now, so when I would walk by, there would always be a priest. And the reverend would look at me and he says, good morning, doctor. How are you? Right? And you always assume I'm wearing a yarmulke. You know, how can I not be a doctor? What am I doing? Doing Bikur Cholim. And he'd always say that. And I was always, I didn't have the heart to tell him I'm not a doctor. So I always got scared that one day he's going to say to me, you know, come up to me and say, doctor, this, you know, patient over here is coding. And I'm like, no. He's like, oh, cause he's not Jewish. And I'm like, no, I'm not a doctor. You know, so I'll just tell you a very funny story, follow up to this. When I first moved here, a long time ago, so my son, Yaakov, goes to class, and they start talking about Gemara already. He's right, second grade, third grade, says. Finally, he starts learning Gemara, and they give him a Rebbe that I happen to know, and I said, I can't believe it. He was my Rebbe in Yeshiva HaKotel many years ago, and he's teaching at my son's school. He still teaches today in the same school in Abba Yisrael. And I'm not sure why, but this, I'm not sure why he thought that I was a doctor. So he'd always come up to me and say, oh, nice to see you, Dr. Hartstein. How are you, doctor? And I never said anything. First of all, I liked the covet of him calling me doctor. I always wanted to be called doctor, you know? And I didn't say anything to him. And then I realized that this might be a problem one day, right? Somebody in school might need, you know, a real doctor. And, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to say something. So I said to him, Rabbi, I'm actually not a doctor. So he looked at me and he goes, oh my God, did you lose your license? I'm like, no, I was never a doctor. And he says, oh, are you at least a rabbi? I'm like, I don't know, not so much, but okay, fine. So he was asked this question. The Maharik says, Lenias Daiti, Nira Dover Parsha, source number 5, the lo asur mishum chok. It's not just asur because of a chok. Ella, the aleph mishnei chalakim, echad hu adavar, asher ain tamo, nigle, kimishvar shalashon chok. Nobody knows what the reason is for it. It doesn't make any sense. That's going to be usher. Kimiforish barashi v'chumish, as Rashi tells us in Chumash. So, says the Maharik, the kevan dehu, davar mishuna, asher ein bo tam, nigla, ela shehein nigalim, as we don't know the reason for it. We're afraid of one thing. That if you're doing something weird, maybe it had a vote of zara reasons to it. Ve'inyon asheni she'asher mishum, hukoseim hagoyim, he says, Hadabra asher shayach bo nidud pritzus. So he gives two reasons. One, if the reason doesn't make any sense, I bet you there was an underpinning, a shmek, a smelling of avodah zarah, and therefore don't do it. So one could argue that even though there's probably not one person who celebrates Halloween today and goes trick-or-treating and thinks it has anything to do with anything, but because we know the original source was very goyish in nature, and in fact, not just goyish in nature, but pagan, as close as you're going to get to avodah zarah, don't do it. It's out. Even if it has nothing to do with today. The problem with that is going to be, you can argue something that I don't have an answer for. And that is something called yoga. Yoga is based on, we know, exercise and people doing it for health. But the base of it, if you ask Rabbi Google, will tell you it's Hinduism. Namaste. And you say all these words and some of it is religious oriented. So what's going to be the argument? The argument is what? It makes sense. It's exercise. Why can't I do any exercise I want to do? Interesting. Because again, the underpinnings might be something Avodah Zarah oriented. The second reason, which is interesting, which the Rama will quote, is that if it has underpinnings of preachers as well. The example that he gives is something that is not knowing today. People make the mistake and think it is wearing red clothing. Right? Imagine women of those days, they wore black and black and gray and black, like here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, you see a lot of that. And all of a sudden, if a woman wears this red dress, you'd be like, what the heck is going on here? She stands out, everybody starts looking at her. In fact, she's wearing the dress maybe. So I'm not talking about only pritzos mitzad, her, she's not covering her elbows or her dress is too tight. And by the way, this applies to men as well, pritzos. You're not wearing appropriate clothes, maybe you're not wearing a shirt. That's called pritzos. It's not what a Jewish person does. Right? I remember, it's very funny because when I give these shurim, so I always make sure to go upstairs and put on a button-down shirt. Because I think if a rav's giving a shir, he should do it in a polo shirt. But the real reason is, a button-down shirt, not a polo shirt. Right? It's very hot here in Baruch Hashem and Ramat Beit Shemesh. Right? We're heading into the 90s. And so I wear a polo shirt. My Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik always wasn't a fan of a polo shirt. He always told me. And I used to have my job there was to daven for the Omud. So he'd always say, Dov, make sure to put a jacket on. He says, he didn't like the polo shirt. He thought that was too leisurely, right? Not Mishum Pritzos. So says the Maharik, the Afilu Zos Nira Dehainu, Dafke Kishu Oisek Edei Lehim Damot Lahem. I want to be like them. And I'm wearing this clothing because I want to be like the Goyim. Because then you have a problem. But, Chiyai Gavna Lo Shayach Isser. Here there's going to be no Isser. Why? He's doing a Mishum Kavod. He wants to show that I'm a doctor. Right? You have the same thing now. This is the season of caps and gowns. So there are some yeshivas that won't allow it. I'm not going to mention the names, right? We're at high school, graduation, they won't let them wear a cap and gown. Why? It's a goyish minhag. It's very hard to understand that. It shows distinction. It's a weird dress. I get it. And I don't think the underpinnings of it was a Avodah Zarah. I don't think so, but we could check Google. And therefore what? It shows a distinction. It shows something special. So how can you go ahead and tell me that there's something usher in it? By the way, if you have any questions, send it on the chat. I will answer your questions, I hope. Kobe points out that his school didn't do it. Again, I've seen that schools don't do it. But it probably similar to the Maharik's case. And again, I haven't researched this enough. Maybe there is some sort of Galatia Minik behind this. But comes along, the Maharikan says, and therefore a doctor, a Jewish doctor, should wear this white cape, which now became our white coat. Why? Because there's nothing usher in it, right? It actually makes a lot of sense. It shows the difference between a doctor and Stam Hartstein who's just walking around the hospital. And therefore, it seemed that there is no Isser in it. My brother-in-law showed me the source. This is a topic. I remember hearing this year from my brother-in-law, Rabbi David Gottlieb, very, very many years ago. He gave a shir, it had to be Shavuos night. I guess I was there for Shavuos maybe. My wife will remind me of this. And he gave a shir about the Goyish Minhagim and the Gra. The Gra goes crazy on the minhag of decorating the shuls. A few weeks ago, right? Unfortunately, we couldn't decorate the shuls. So I told my wife I bought extra flowers because I wanted to decorate the home. There's also a minhag to decorate the home. So some say you can't decorate the shuls. The Gra was very against it. Why? He says, Chukas HaGoyim. Why? What's so? He says, well, you know, there's a holiday that has a tree. I don't know if you guys know about this, right? Right? The Christmas tree. We don't bring flowers into a shul. It's not appropriate. It's very interesting. We're very careful because we don't want to be doymer to the churches. They're very. Ratzitz Eliezer writes a tshuva about. It was asked a shaila about, and it's a cool thing. You make early Shabbos and bring in instruments into the shul, play awesome Karlbach music. Everybody's gonna be dancing and going crazy. And then when you're accepting Shabbos upon yourself, l'chadodiyam is mishalim Shabbos. Get rid of all the instruments. And he says, well, technically that would be mutter, except you can't bring instruments into shul because it's like the churches. Churches has organs. I don't like it. Okay. So the Gra is very scared about any chukas agayim, and he has a lot of things he doesn't allow because of that. So my brother-in-law showed me the source of the Shelos Jews B'nai Banim. I actually have Baruch Hashem the Sefer here. The B'nai Banim was the great Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin is his grandfather was quite well known, was the Rav of, they always said, before Rav Moshe, the Gadol Hador in America. And the B'nai Banim, still alive, should have a Refuah Shlema, Rabbanit Henkin. Anybody knows the institution Nishmat? So it's our husband. So he has a very interesting tshuva here, and he said that there's a letter that was written by the Chazon Ish, and it says here in source number 6, Aval Isser B'chukosein Lo Seilechu, Eino Ella Hamisave, I desire Lidmos Bahem. Aval Lo B'Oyev Ayofi. I want to wear a nice suit. It looks nice to me. What's so wrong about wearing a suit? I'm in the business world, right? And this is where the Shaila comes now, right? So why do we wear what we wear? It's interesting because if you look at your normal, I think I'm right about this. Please guys, correct me if I'm wrong, right? Your normal shirt. So shirt have the buttons on the right side, not the left side. Anybody know why? I don't know why, but there's some say there's a goyish minhag based on it. And therefore the chassidim, if you ever look at your chassid, ask him where his button is. You'll see that the buttons of the bekishas and the frocks that they wear are on the left side. Because they want to show that their dress is different. The funny part of that is women's clothing is on the left side. So not so smart. But in any case, they want to show their muvdal. I'm not misava. I don't want to be like the only example I like to give where you want to be like them is that if you ever saw the gangsters, they wear during these riots now, you could see this, right? They wear these low ride pants. Right, you could see their boxers, like a thing to show their boxers and the little run. So that to me is exactly what we're talking about here. That I think the Maharik would have a problem with, the Chazon Ish would have a problem with, because I'm being doymil lahem. There's no reason for me to show my boxers. It's just that's the geisha, that's the way that they do it. Right? Again, that doesn't mean I'm not allowed to buy the greatest Air Jordans that are out. You can, right? And I use Jordan Dafka because he had the famous "I want to be like Mike." Right now that the new thing came out, right? Lidomus bam. I want, but not mamas. You want to be like that. So this is another question. This is not. I don't think this is a halacha question. Should you have posters of great sports stars in your room instead of gedolim? Right. I don't think a lot of people have pictures of me in their room. I don't think they should. But right, lidomus bam. Right. Is that the appropriate thing? I don't think that's a chukas hakayim question as much. So if you look at the Raman, source number 7 here. The Rama says like this: V'chein zeh eino iser ele b'dover she'nahagu bo le'avod d'ha'obod k'chav l'shem pritzus. The Rama is very interested in this pritzus idea. He says, for example, right? So you could actually have a case where a woman is totally sneezily dressed and will say that because the color is alluring or the type of material, I'm not sure what exactly, I'm not certainly going to make the mistake of trying to define that. That would be usher in Issa Daraisa, the Hussein Lo Selecha. Avaldar Shinago, Leminhag, Ulechok, the Ainbotam, the Ikul Limichushbehem, Mishum Darche Amori, and even a Shemitz of Arikacham, we have to be careful of it, right? Avaldar Shinago, right, Litoilas, it has a reason for it. Shadarkoma, Shakom Misha Yorofe, Mumche, gives the Maharik's example. They wore this cape, so that makes a lot of sense. But if it has no reason, I would be very careful why you're doing it. So having a birthday cake, one could clearly argue, there's a great reason for that, right? What's a great reason to have a birthday cake? Because it's delicious. Kids like it. It has a lot of sugar in it. You want to say the candles? You want to say maybe making a wish is not appropriate. There's a whole, Rabbi Ari Leibowitz has a temen halacha about blowing out candles, about making a wish, because that was considered to be the whole thing, abracadabra, whatever. Not for now. But I think it's an interesting inyan for a person to think about in itself. But, right, it's interesting because there are some goyish minhags that we all do. Not we all do, I don't want to say we all do. For example, when someone makes a l'chaim, so sometimes they like to click the glasses to make a toast. That's totally goyish. Look at it up. Totally non-Jewish minhag, right? Every say knock on wood. Knock on wood is a terrible thing to say. It's talking about Jesus. Right? So there are certain things that are obvious that even though nowadays nobody maybe thinks about it, it's something that a person cannot and should not do. So back to yoga. So Rabbi Leibowitz said that he asked Rabbi Yonasan Sachs, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in now Landers, used to be in NYU, and he said, it's gotta be that it's mutter. So this is an interesting, why? It has Ovodah Zara underpinnings, even though it makes sense because people want to do, So let's get to the non-Jewish names for a moment. So So first of all, I just wanted to point out that the Minchas Chinuch. I like to quote this Minchas Chinuch because a lot of people like to say the following vort, and they say, "I don't understand. Why are the Hasidim any better than we are? What are the Hasidim doing? Everybody knows the famous thing. They're wearing the aristocratic clothing. The Strimal is not something that they made up. That was a hat that for some reason was worn." You know, if you look at the, I'm not into this at all. I don't know anything about it, but I saw a video clip of how they made unorthodox. You know, they went to Germany and they show how they had to make these strimals because they said they couldn't believe that a strimal cost so much money because it comes from real. So they made a whole fake strimals because they didn't want to harm any animals for chulin. But the strimals is what the fancy people wore, the nobles wore in whatever time it was, the 1600s, 1400s, whatever, I forgot, 1600s. So how could that be mutter? Why are they any better than us? So because I'm wearing a shirt from the Gap from 1998, you know, they used to make a joke that you can go up to somebody who made Aliyah and you could tell when they made Aliyah. Well, how? You look at his shirt and he's like, oh, that's from the Gap 2012. Is that when you made Aliyah? You know, like we're wearing old stuff here. You know, you don't get to travel, and especially now you can't travel. So the Minchas Chinuch says something fascinating. And he says that based on the Rambam, Ein hoichim b'chul moved over him, but nearly pasher, says the Minchas Chinuch. The mutal Yisrael lelech b'mavush hakodmanim. A person can go with dress hakodem, the old clothes. Asher akum azvu ata. They don't wear it anymore. Now you can wear it, right? It's always funny, you know. People keep old ties, right? If I wore my grandfather's ties now, like some of them are in now, not all of them, but some of them are in now, right? All of a sudden, things come back to fashion. Glasses come back to fashion. Certain styles of glasses. So the Minchas Chinuch says, you know why the Hasidim wear old dress? Because nobody wears that anymore, right? It's okay. It's true. There was a New York Times article that spoke about the Borsellino hat and how it became very cool because people started wearing it. You know, there's two types of people. There used to be, there was a show, I think it still exists. They said Hasid or hipster, and you had it defined. The problem was, is that, right? The Hasid and the hipster, they both would wear the Borsellino hat, you know? So it's true, but we're not going to stop wearing it because of that. So Rav Moshe Feinstein here has a beautiful tshuva where he asks this question. So I just want to give you a little background about the names. So we know that names are something very important. The Rabbanu Shalom gave your parents Sata Dishmaya, special divine assistance when your name was chosen. I don't think there's anybody listening now, watching now, that has only a non-Jewish name. You might have a name of Andrew. You might have a name, but Joey has a Jewish name, right? There's no name. You don't call him up to the door, Yamo, Joey, you know, Ben, whatever, you know, Stanley. That doesn't happen. However, there are people like that. There are a lot of Russian Jews who don't remember their breast. They never were taught anything about Judaism. And they have these names, George and so on and so forth. The Maharam Shik brings this up in a tshuva. Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful, in Shemos, in his Parsha Sefer, where he spoke about this famous Maharam Shik. So the Maharam Shik fought against any reformism coming into it. So much so, you ready for this, guys? He changed his name to Shik. Shik, Shin Yud Kuf stands for Shem Yisrael Kodesh. And he goes crazy on people who adopted non-Jewish names. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shlomo Kluger has over there a tshuva as well. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about these Goyish names. Now there's a Gemara in Gittin that go through the Gemara that talks about how Oy vavoy, the Tosfos says, oy vavoy, that we're writing Gittin today, that are coming with Midiras Hayam with non-Jewish names. Rav Moshe Weiss is doiche this Tosfos, because Rav Moshe Weiss says that Tosfos was talking about the following case, Nebuch. A person is born Yaakov, and he becomes unorthodox, right? He goes to the movies, Netflix series. And so he doesn't want to have the name anymore, whatever we said, Yaakov. So he changes his name to George. And now, lo aleinu, he gets invited to his brother's bar mitzvah, and he decides he's going to come. And this George Nebuch, he looks horrible. And they feel bad for him. They want to give him an aliyah. They think maybe he'll make him from. So they call him up to the Torah. They go, Yamod. And his father knows his name is Yaakov Yitzchok, you know. And he says, Yamod. He says, George. So that's what Tosfos is talking about. So there you had a shiloh, whether the Gittin, if somebody signed their name George and their real name was George, because... But Rav Moshe Feinstein says something even more interesting of that. He says, "V'im kain ma'yomar shehem mevushei nochrin." So this is talking about. I'm sorry. This is the source number 10 is what I'm looking at. The af the davar meguna eno asur l'kain chazina b'kama shemos la'el. He goes, there were a lot of different names that came in Medina Sayan. right? Ubeshemos nashim hey biyoser etzleinu sheinu bnei Ashkenaz hey. He goes, let's give you some examples of names in the Gemara already. Rabbi Shmuel was a horrible name. He says Ravidl. He goes, what about the name Alexander? We know the story why they named their kids Alexander, right? My father's name is Clonimus Kalman. Clonimus is not a Jewish name. The famous Clonimus, whoever he was, prince, and they didn't want to die, and they said they're going to name all their children. But my father's not named Clonimus because we first came up with the name Clonimus. It was that he's named for some Kaddish. My grandmother, Zirza, her father's name was Clonimus Kalman. So I'm not naming for that first Goyish name, right? I've told the story many times, but I'll just tell it one more time. I apologize, guys, but this is golden story. There's a story told. I happen to know it's true, but it's hard to believe the whole story is true, but I heard it many years ago. There's a guy that's married to a girl. That's usually the way it works. And he's having a baby name. He had a daughter. So they go to the shul, and the way it works, he goes to his in-law's shul. That's where the baby's being named. So the father, the grandfather of this new baby, goes up to the rabbi and he says, Rabbi, I need to talk to you. It's very important. He says, they're davening. He says, no. He says, my son is in a nut job and he's naming the baby a goyish name. You can't. The rabbi's like, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. So he said, no, you got to get involved. It's a goyish name. So he goes up to him and he says, Nu, what are we going to do? So he goes up to the boy, and the boy says, no, what are you talking about? No. So now he gets the aliyah, and they go, Mi, Shemer Chavaseinu, She Karu Shemo B'Yisrael, and the grandfather starts screaming, no, don't do it. And everybody thinks he's crazy, and they name the baby Michael Yordana. What a beautiful name. Michael Yordana, what a beautiful name. And the guy's going nuts. No. So sometimes you have this, they want to be named for his mother who died. So the rabbi goes up to this crazy grandfather, it was his shul, and he says to the grandfather, what do you do? It's a beautiful name, Michal Yordana. He says, Rabbi, please go downstairs to the Kiddush. You'll understand. So he goes to the Kiddush, the rabbi, and he doesn't know what this guy's crazy. And he says, so a lot of people know the tumult with the name and the whole thing. So the name was decided this morning because of what happened. Everybody knows what happened last night. Baruch Hashem, we had the three-peat of the greatest leader of the world, Michael Jordan. I'm from Chicago, and I'm naming my daughter after Michael Jordan, Michal Yordana. That's pretty, grandfather was a little bit right about that, for choking his son-in-law. Anyway, but says Rav Moshe, unless you're going to do something crazy like that, our names are not goyish in itself. Somebody just asked, what about Yiddish names, right? My grandmother's name was Fega, so I didn't want to give my daughter a name, Batsheva Fega. So her name's Sipora, right? So you're allowed to do that. Right? And she's actually named for her other grandma, who was Pesha. We figured out Pesha is Batsheva. Maybe not, but okay. As long as you think, that's okay. Rav Moshe is another tshuva. He says, we have a klal. Rav Usher Weiss brings it. The Gemara tells us, shame, Pasha's Korach has this. Korach, you shouldn't name your kid Korach. Right? I learned with my son about the great Rav Zilberstein always has crazy shilas. So he asks a shila about a guy needs a new water heater. You know, in Israel, the water heaters go on top of your roof. So he says, guy takes it out of the box, and the name of the company is called Nimrod. And there's a big Nimrod down the middle. Nimrod was a horrible person. He says, how can I have that name? So Rav Zilberstein asks, can he put the name? And he's going to see. It's like giving advertising for a Russia. He asks whether or not he was really a Russia, whether it was. So he says, you should write Nimrod, and then write next to it, shame Yisrael Yikarev. That's the pasuk said that we should remember people for bad. But like we say Yamach Shemo nowadays, the same type of thing. That's a different case, right? You say, Rav Moshe asks, when you're naming a child Yaakov, right? And I'm naming it for the Yaakov, the Avram, who was my father, and the father was a Russia. So he says, think about Yaakov Avinu, that's okay. But here he says, how can you tell me you can't have a Goyish name? What's so bad about having a Goyish name? Why? He says, because it's not a Goyish name. I'm not naming my son Igor after, Shrek. Because I love the movie. I'm naming it Alexander because my grandfather's name was Alexander. Maybe the first person was bad. But says Rav Moshe, there's no such thing as Goyish names unless you're mamish the first person to do it. Interestingly enough, Rav Usher Weiss doesn't like this answer, he says. And he says he thinks the answer is different. The Baal HaTurim says, others quote this, it's not actually a medrash, but it talks about the B'nai Yisrael kept their religion because they were shulim. Shalem stood for. Shalem, Shin, Lamed, Mem. They didn't change their shame. They had Jewish names. Their Levush. They always had Jewish clothing. And what are we up to? Mem. Sorry, Malbush. Lamed was for Lashon. They had Jewish names. They spoke Hebrew. And they didn't change their clothing. Everybody knew that they were Jewish. That's what kept them alive. Says Rav Asher Weiss, yeah, but you don't have to have all three of them. As long as you have one of them, you're okay. So you're still wearing a yarmulke? You're good. Something like that. Whatever. But in any case, I think that Liotza Mitzvareinu, and I, just to show the tshuva I didn't do, the modern dress, Rav Moshe clearly says, Ki omer lehem mevush nachrim b'Yisrael, levoshim bakan, mevushim because why are you going to tell me it's aser? Right? The guy that makes, as we just saw, right, the guy that makes the white shirts, right, and he didn't say, well, I'm Calvin Klein and I don't want to sell to Jews, right? There's all these rumors about Tommy Hilfiger and this. It's not true that they don't want to. And you know, there's a company called FUBU. Damon John became famous for it, right? For You, By You. It's supposed to be clothing for African Americans. So you're going to tie into that if a Jew wears it, they're going to go crazy? I don't think so, right? And Charles Tewitt is quite happy that Jews are wearing his thing. So Sarah from Moshe Feinstein, you can't tell me dress is bad because it's for everybody. Unless you're going to find me a dress that's not sneistic, maybe, or you know, it's going to hide me in tzitzis, and I'm not going to wear it. I don't know what, right? Or it's not. It's pretzos oriented, so that's going to be usher. And the same thing with a name. I have a Jewish name when I go up to the Torah, but at work, right? My Hebrew name, as I said, is Dov. So my whole life, what would happen? Certainly in America, people would call me Dove. Hey, Dove, right? Because nobody can say the word Dov, right? So that I think would be mutter for a person to do. Again, you want to argue that to have a mamashic name like Matthew's really, you know, okay, I hear that, you know, because it's a name that's, you know, I don't know. But in itself, it's hard to define. And I think this is part of our challenge here with Chukas Hagoyim, right? We've discussed many times before, and we'll probably have a shira that's just a refresher of the different isurim, you know, I call it, getting invited out at a business meeting. What can you eat? What can't you eat? So on and so forth. Then how do I act? Can I even go into the place? Marisayin v'chulu. Here we're talking about, you know, we have to be muvdal. But I don't think it revolves around not wearing clothing. That's normal. Again, what one could, again, we have very little things that define us. So you wear glasses, a very Jewish thing to wear glasses. So I'm not allowed to wear the newest style of glasses because the goyim wear it. I don't think that's a founded minhag to say that. I don't think that's called Chukas Goyim. It doesn't have the Shemus of Avodah Zarah, as we said. And number two, what do we say? It's not Mishum Pritzus. And therefore, I don't think it's Aser. Unless we know it's a Shemus of Avodah Zarah. And even then, like when it comes to baking the challahs, you know, with the key in it, they want to find other menhagim. They're a different sperm. I forgot. I know there's a famous bakery here called Klein's Bakery. And the Shabbos after, they always put out this psak from, I think it was the Apterov from the Oyev Yisrael, who says, no, it's not a Goyish minhag. It's a totally Jewish minhag because the source of Parnasa, Pesach, is just over and we're remembering ourselves the Mon, and now we're counting Sfiras HaOmer, and therefore, right, there are all these different reasons you can get. Okay, if the inner pinnings are not a Avodah Zarah, then maybe yes. Why yoga's okay? I don't know. And if you know, it could be that when it comes to, say, the candles, and there was originally it was something bad, nobody knows about that anymore. It's hard to say. Halloween, everybody knows that it did revolve around something that was Goyish. Again, and we're also not talking about, again, clearly going to a Christmas party if it's only Christmas and they're doing Christmas-oriented things. That's a whole different Shilopia. This is about being moved up. This is about these types of different things. So I don't think that would be us. And again, it is a hard topic to define sometimes, but again, it's just specifically talking about dress and things of that nature and names, what we discussed today. I don't think you'll find any isurim there unless there's a pretzus inyan that's going on over there, or it has a shemetz of Avodah Zarah. Before I conclude, any questions that anybody has, I'll be happy to answer specifically on this topic.